Good Wednesday. Today is July the 2nd, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, I had the chance this week to visit with Amanda Schwartz. She is a technical agronomist for DeKalb Asgrow. We had a chance to visit about insect scouting and some of the different things that may be occurring with tar spot. We'll have the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
I'm joined today by Amanda Schwartz. Amanda is the DeKalb Asgrow Technical Agronomist here in Ohio. Amanda, it's been an interesting spring. I think we can pretty much say that all the crops are in the ground. It was cool for a while. Now it's turned out about as hot as it can be for this time of year. Plenty of moisture, as well as the crop being impacted by that. It also impacts insect development, and Bayer has an insect forecasting tool. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. If you go to insectforecast.com, you can toggle through a couple different insects that would be present in your area. The one I'm focused on the most right now is corn rootworm larva. If you've noticed seeing lightning bugs or fireflies in the recent things, ironically, this GDUs that it takes for a lightning bug to hatch into an adult stage are the same number of GDUs it takes for a corn rootworm egg to hatch as well. Once those eggs hatch, they search for corn roots, and that is their source of life.
That's an interesting fact I was not aware of. So I'd say definitely a nice, easy indicator as far as how many GDUs we've accumulated. If you start seeing those fireflies in the evening, that there could be some things feeding on the corn. Amanda, I feel like a lot of times maybe we've been lulled to sleep a little bit just because of the advanced genetics that we have in there in the corn crop. But you raised a good point. We still need to be aware of corn rootworm.
Yes. There have been some great trait advances within the corn industry as of late, and those are some of the things that we tend to forget about. As commodity prices are lower and input costs are a little higher, I know some guys have moved away from traited corn, so it's just a good thing to keep in mind that if your corn does not have a trait for rootworm protection, such as SmartStax, SmartStax Pro, VT4 Pro, You could have a corn crop that's a little more susceptible to rootworm feeding.
That's a great point. Well, another hot topic, it seems like anytime we talk about corn and agronomy, is tar spot, something that unfortunately seems like it's taken the area by storm the last couple of years and really got folks' attention, especially when it comes to the impact on yield. You were sharing with me before we went on the air here that really we need to be aware of that about now and start paying attention.
Definitely. So similar to our insect forecast tool, we have some disease risk maps available for your viewing. And right now, those maps, as it relates to tar spot, are indicating that most of Western Ohio is in a moderate risk for tar spot. As we talked about earlier, the hot, wet summer so far has definitely contributed to the risk of tar spot developing more quickly. So we know that tar spot likes to thrive in periods of wet conditions and warm conditions, and it likes 7+ hours of continued wetness, which includes dews that appear in the morning that linger till, you know, here lately it was what, noon or so before those dews finally went away. So tar spot moves with water, it overwinters on crop residue. We know it's out there, so I would encourage you to be proactive and start scouting sooner rather than later.
Once I find that, what should the first steps I be based on the growth stage of the corn? When should I consider having to get in there and make an application?
Yep, absolutely. So work with your retailers. We recommend an application of Dalaro Complete at Tassel for the best bang for your buck. We have been playing around with different application timings based on growth stage of the crop as well. But right now, we do still feel like that economical return is applying Dalaro Complete at Tassel.
Good information. And with this weather, that will be here before we know it. Again, my guest today has been Amanda Schwartz. She's a DeKalb Asgrow Technical Agronomist. We've been talking about the interesting spring now, summer weather that we've had, and Bayer's insect forecast tool, things to keep in mind when it comes to corn rootworm, and of course, that ever popular topic, tar spot, and being on the lookout very soon. Amanda, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
Well, thanks, Joe. We're going to change directions now. The USDA's June cattle on feed report revealed some notable trends culminating in tighter supplies for cattle, yet more livestock staying in the feed yard. Rod Bain has the details.
More tightening of cattle and beef supplies. Per USDA's latest cattle on feed report, livestock analyst Michael McConnell says for the period ending May 1st,
we have relatively smaller inventories in feedlots relative to a year ago with fewer placements and fewer marketings. That's reflective of the overall tighter cattle situation than what we've seen the past couple of years.
By numbers, in the May cattle on feed report,
on feedlots with over 1,000 head, there was 11.38 million head of cattle in those feedlots, which is 2% lower than a year ago. Over the course of the month of April, placements were 1.631 million head. That's 3% lower than a year ago.
With lower placements correlating with limited supplies of cattle outside feedlots,
which is also reflecting relatively high prices that we're seeing for feeder cattle as well.
McConnell says while there were strong fed cattle placements as late as March of this year,
some of that really just comes down to some seasonal factors or weather, particularly when comparing to a year ago, we had relatively light placements in March of 2024. And so sometimes you have to be careful when you look at these numbers year over year and keep in mind what was going on the previous year.
That being said,
placements have been trending lower for most of the months in 2025. Again, that's just reflective primarily the fact that we do have and have had pretty tight cattle and cow inventories the past couple of years.
Also directly impacted by less placements in feedlots,
marketings were 1.83 million head, which was also 3% lower than a year ago.
Strong fed steer prices are also driving lower marketings as of May 1st.
And support of wholesale beef prices as well. So even though we have relatively tight inventories of cattle, we're still seeing some pretty strong demand for beef, which is supporting the prices of both fed steer and wholesale beef prices as well.
So in summarizing this month's cattle on feed report,
even with the tighter cattle supplies, we still have pretty robust beef demand. So that's partially why we see higher prices throughout the system. Tighter cattle supplies are leading to supportive prices, with consumer demand for beef still remaining pretty steady.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Thanks, Rod. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.